Hi, this is Sean Sutner, news and feature writer for Search Health IT. I'm here with Stephen Miles, a research affiliate at the Auto ID Labs and the Center for Biomedical Innovation at MIT, and a principal consultant in Auto ID serialization, track and trace, ePedigree, and HL7 FHIR, EHR, and big data strategies. We're going to talk about Internet of Things in healthcare.
Thank you.
Okay, my first question, what is the state of the Internet of Medical Things in terms of its maturity as an industry?
So if we break your question into two components, right? So there's a fundamental assumption and a series of concepts around an internet that we're looking to replicate in the physical world. And actually going back to my original affiliation at MIT with the Auto ID Labs, where the phrase the Internet of Things was coined. So the important thing there to call out is that if we call something an internet, there are certain fundamental pieces of that need to be present for the network to function. So on the internet, we have unique identifiers, unique IP addresses, and the TCP/IP protocol. So we have a protocol for moving messages around. And if we take that and we add the word medical to that, so the medical Internet of Things, so I think the first thing that we have to observe is that there's no consensus around a protocol a common network architecture for things in the medical space. What we have today are lots of disjoint, separate proprietary networks. But of course, the opportunity is to bring those together, much as we've done in the larger space of moving off of proprietary networks onto a common internet and web-based infrastructure.
Okay, so going back to the Auto ID labs at MIT, where the phrase Internet of Things was coined, can you talk about some of the work you did with the Auto ID labs?
Yes, and I'll try to insert some of the specific parts of this that are related to your audience in the healthcare space. So the original co-founders, actually the idea belonged to David Brock, who was a research scientist at MIT, and he came up with the idea that if you could assign unique identifiers to things, would that allow you to model what was happening in the physical world in a computer system, right? And that seemed like a good idea, but of course, how would you ever assign numbers to everything? And at the time the original group was formed, the Barcode Association, so this, in those days it was UCC and the EAN article numbering associations around the world, had come to MIT looking for a group that could work with the basic barcode set of identifiers, that they were a globally recognized nonprofit representing all manufacturers in each country. And at this time, GS1 was being formed, where essentially you now have a group that represents all manufacturers in the world and a language to communicate about products. And they were looking for ways that they could add value to their system of numbers that was being adopted in industries all over the world, including in healthcare. And the idea of adding a serialized extension to a barcode was one of that's the Auto ID concept, is that each thing gets a unique identifier. And then whether the tag is an optical linear code or a 2D barcode, whether it's a HF or UHF or LF, passive RFID tag, whether it's an active RFID Wi-Fi tag or a cell phone or computer, whatever it might be, each thing gets a unique number, and then can that help you model what's happening in the world? And of course, the fact that you had manufacturers who were looking to label their products using this technology is really where the shift has occurred. And gradually, industry by industry, and then in this call, as we look at where this is penetrating in healthcare, the fundamental concept and requirement for an internet is that things be identified uniquely.
Okay, so Okay, so beyond using NFC and other technologies to barcode identify medications, what other areas and applications of health IT and healthcare are you and others looking at using new IoT technologies and approaches?
So if we just start for a minute with this notion of what are the things that are being serialized today in healthcare?
Yeah. Right? Yes.
So probably the biggest initiative that every practice, every hospital, every CIO, every manufacturer has to deal with. So starting at a very high level, if we look at the regulatory agency, and if we focus in this call on the U.S. market, so the biggest initiative in serialization that's been mandated by the FDA has been specific to the medical device industry, right? And we have essentially the FDA is setting up a national system for post-market surveillance of medical devices. So when we talk about putting, say, a stent or an artificial heart, something in somebody's body, they wanted to make sure, and the industry wanted to make sure, that these products weren't being illicitly reused or you know, and that they were the original manufacturer's products and not counterfeit products. And so now, going back 2 years ago, the FDA has issued a unique device identifier mandate that requires all medical device manufacturers to serialize their products and then to post to a central FDA database the information about those identifiers that they've shipped, so that a hospital, a physician, a patient can go online and validate whether the serial number they've got is the real thing. And that is a major initiative, and is one that is well underway and being adopted in the healthcare industry here in the U.S.
But that kind of leads into the next question: how do healthcare providers and vendors solve the increasingly recognized problem of security vulnerabilities in connected devices in healthcare organizations?
And if we go back to the theme of this call and what's different about an Internet of Things and then specifically an Internet of Medical Things, you know, what are the security characteristics that are different in the medical space than from other spaces, right? So the first thing, and peculiar to the United States, we have a unique problem, which is that we have a law against a national patient identifier. The Congress, in its wisdom, passed this law out of fear that individuals would be discriminated against if insurance providers knew and could find out about people's health before they enrolled them in an insurance plan, right? But if we go back to this fundamental concept of what does it take for a network to work, how do we store information in the database? If we're going to store an piece of data in a database, say that's related to a person, there's going to be an identifier in it. That's how the computer works, right? So right now we have a challenge in the United States around either a national patient identifier, an opt-in version of this. There are multiple, you know, each EHR company, each medical device, everybody, every hospital system has their own numbers that we're assigning to things. But some coherent way of doing this is going to be a key part of addressing the security issue in healthcare. But it is important to point out that around the world, in any of the national systems, and in other industries, we don't have that problem. So smart cards, which are, you know, the little chip in the smart card that we use when we pay by credit card, and the new chip and PIN cards that we're now using that are coming over from Europe, those are based on HF passive RFID tags that are in there. We use them in all of our national, you know, highly secure, FIPS compliant, the highest standards for security that exist using passive HF RFID in the smart card world, and those specifications can easily be used in a healthcare context once we straighten out you know, what set of identifiers or what set of registries that we can use, you know, as we progress to bring more and more of this data onto this common shared network and associated set of protocols. The second thing to just mention quickly, there's a further, so first we need to identify people and who gets access to what data about people. The rules and roles are highly, they've been very well defined in an HL7 context. So how we secure that level of information, the industry has done a magnificent job of specifying and securing that information from a business process standpoint. The thing that's missing in the Internet of Things implementation in healthcare, and an area of work that some of us have been doing at MIT. So things also in the medical context have different characteristics from things like, say, in the consumer packaged goods. So Target's just announced that they're rolling out a big RFID initiative, and they would like everybody to be able to read the information and access information about those products. In healthcare, there are specific products, for example, a class 2 narcotic, that you don't want the label to tell the shipping clerk what's in that box. And so that piece and that layer of the Internet of Things protocol, specific to the healthcare industry, is one that we're looking to collaborate with people on to try to harmonize how best on an application by application basis within the healthcare system we can handle those levels of security requirements.
Those are good examples. What are the key benefits of Internet of Things for healthcare, and what is the most realistic right now in terms of ROI for, you know, provider organizations or payers? I thought of a bunch of benefits of being efficiency, putting translational medicine into action, surgery and nursing workflow enhancements, medication management, device connectivity like infusion pumps, or is it patient customer satisfaction, or is it all of the above, and are there any others?
Sean, those are all great examples, right? But if you abstract out and you say, what is driving the interest in IoT technologies in healthcare today? It certainly in the United States, at a very high level, this concept of meaningful use and the onus that the payers are putting on the providers to track what goes into the systems and then what comes out of the systems. You know, if we put in this drug, what was the outcome? And by the way, did it even get there, right? That level of being able to model and measure and monitor what's happening, this is where the Internet of Things technologies are giving us new ways to collect data that then we can make them useful to the medical practitioners and the people administering these systems, right? And so in that context, the kinds of things, so with colleagues at the Brigham and Women's Hospital, we just did a project that was published in JMIR where we used the little HF RFID reader, the NFC reader in the smartphone to read both the smart card identifiers for the patients and the practitioners, but then we hand-applied HF RFID labels onto the medications, and we used that and prototyped a system to do electronic medication administration and reconciliation with a little handheld smartphone app instead of what is used today, which are these big workstations on wheels with a $600 dedicated barcode reader to read the tags on the crinkly tubes of medication, and they wheel these carts around the hospital. And it's one of the few systems that you can see having been adopted globally. And it was actually a group at the Brigham and Women's Hospital here in Boston that were the leaders in establishing and benchmarking and showing the importance of tracking individual medications and individual patients and looking up in the patient record for any allergies, looking up at prior meds to ensure that the proper medications are given, and in turn being able to administer and send back to the EHR all of that information. And so in this case, in terms of IoT technologies, we're moving from an older, clunkier version that's more expensive and harder to handle to now, especially with the smartphones, whole new platforms for data acquisition from the products and people and processes in the physical world.
Okay, so that's happening now, but how much of that technology that you're talking about, medication tracking, whether it's on a smartphone or other mobile device, how is that going to be affordable to healthcare organizations, whether, you know, like small and medium-sized hospitals as opposed to big academic medical centers or even physician practices or community clinics? How is that stuff going to become acquirable and affordable?
So I have a fun story for you in this context that just kind of demonstrates how these things work. So when a technology is adopted and you know, once a manufacturer has implemented serialization on their product line and there's an agreement around the use of a certain set of identifier technologies and a protocol to exchange that data, then the whole idea is this becomes accessible to anyone. And one of my favorite examples of this, so if you look at what products have been now consistently tagged with RFID for some years in healthcare, it turns out that it starts with some of your more expensive medical device consumables. So for example, most stents in the world today have a little RFID tag in them, and you can actually read them with your smartphone if you have the right application. Most people don't use it, most people don't know it, most hospitals don't even know it, but there are both manufacturers, distributors, and individual hospitals who have set up the infrastructure to use the RFID reader in the smartphone to capture the information and then do the medication management and tracking around that product. I have a colleague who was in Russia, and he was in Siberia at the large, we through MIT Skoltech project, we had an opportunity to collaborate with some colleagues there, and we're looking at telemedicine applications. And specific to, and this turns out to be one of the largest heart surgery operations in the world, but very, I believe that their cost with a stent for a heart surgery was on the order of $7,000 or $8,000. So very, very inexpensive compared to our delivery. And they were able to read with their smartphone the stents that were there in the operating room in Siberia.
Okay, that sounds great. So if you could sum it up, you know, if talking to the, an audience of, let's say, health care CIOs, what would you say are the biggest benefits of IoT in healthcare, ultimately, to patients, clinicians, and, let's say, healthcare IT organizations?
Well, I would say that most of us in the IT space, and I would include myself in this, over the last 30, 40 years, have forced people to engage in complex and difficult tasks to get data from whatever we're doing into a computer system. Even, for example, from what we gather, some of the new EHR system implementation, what happens is you have a doc who's already too busy, and now we have to hire people to walk around behind them to figure out the codes of the EHR to get it into the system properly, right? Especially as, we're just coming up on a new, and these are, of course, very highly complex systems. And the whole benefit of the IoT space and the automated information data collection space is, can we, in this case, kind of get IT out of the way and just capture the data about what we're doing in the process of doing it, so that IT, instead of becoming an add-on and a burden and an extra set of processes, that we can actually facilitate and then optimize the services that we're delivering.
Well, thanks, Steve. That was a stimulating discussion. Thanks for sitting down with Search Health IT.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean.